ideas and new technology are causing seismic shifts in the media industry. Where are we headed? What does it mean? Keep listening. Media strategist Gabriella Mirabelli talks with the brightest minds in entertainment and business. Meet the innovators, the risk takers, and the disruptors on the front lines of change from Hollywood, Wall Street, Silicon Valley, and beyond. The future is coming to a screen near you. Are you ready? This is the Up Next podcast with Gabriella Mirabelli.
Welcome to Up Next. I'm your host, Gabriella Mirabelli. Lockdown. Quarantine. Words that once were part of the past are now very much part of the here and now. So after spending so much time at home that the days run into one another, how are young consumers feeling about the place they call home? Has it evolved? What's changed? What hasn't? YPulse, the leading authority on Gen Z and millennial opinions and behaviors, has just released a new trend report on how home has evolved. Mary Lee Bliss, YPulse's VP of Content, who oversees all of YPulse's syndicated products, which includes newsletters, insight articles, over 60 annual reports, and ongoing surveys, is our guest today. She's here to discuss what YPulse's research can tell us about home sweet home. Mary, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to talk through another trend.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to digging into the detail of the trend report. But before we do that, could you give us a quick overview of the methodology, number of people surveyed for the study?
Absolutely. So YPulse surveys 1,000 13 to 39-year-olds every month examining a different trend that's going on in their lives that young consumers are fueling or is impacting how they view the world, view brands. So it's 13 to 39-year-olds, and we interview 1,000 of them. It's nationally representative in the U.S., so all very scientific, with a very small margin of error. Any stats that I mention are, you know, within 3 to 5% of what's actually going on.
Fantastic. And when we're talking about Gen Z, that's 13 to what?
So Gen Z is currently within our definition. They are 2 to 19 years old. So within our age ranges, that's 13 to 19 year olds. And millennials are, we're getting older, 20 to 37 year olds.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Millennials are not young.
It's funny because you keep thinking of them as being those millennials, but no longer.
Absolutely. And the other thing about that is, you know, they still to this day have this reputation of being, you know, kids in their parents' basements or, you know, young 20 somethings in their parents' basements. And while some of them are, you know, so many of them have their own families and homes.
Well, it's funny because, as a parent, I love raising my boys, but I don't fancy having them move back to live with me when they're older. And so I actually was curious, are a lot of millennials living with their parents or are they living on their own?
Yeah, well, you know, of course, COVID has had an impact on this. And yes, there have been young adults who have had to move home because of the pandemic. That said, the majority of millennials are actually not living with their parents. The majority are living on their own, in their own apartment or with a spouse or significant other, or with roommates. So really, you know, about a third are living with their own families. So with, you know, their own kids, their own, you know, they're the heads of household, and less than a quarter now are living with their parents or other relatives.
Wow.
So it is the minority of millennials. Gen Z still being teenagers. Yes, they are still living with their parents, of course, but millennials really have flown the nest.
Huh. Wow, that's good to know. So one of the things I've noticed in previous research is that young consumers were already homebodies.
Yes.
So has quarantine given them too much of a good thing? Are they itching to get out?
You know, that was definitely one of the things that people were wondering when the quarantines were dragging on. They're still dragging on, let's be honest, in so many places. Millennials especially have been known to be this homebody generation who would rather stay in on a Saturday night than go out, who have, you know, actually flummoxed a few industries and fueled many thanks to their desire to stay in their homes and enjoy things there. And, you know, there was this question, now that it's being forced upon them, will they still like it, or will they be itching to go out? And of course, there have been so many headlines of, you know, giant concerts and, you know, big parties. But those big stories are really the minority of young consumers. First of all, the majority of young consumers are still quarantining, still consider themselves self-quarantining. And the majority have felt a lot of comfort in their home. And we've really seen the meaning of home shift for them. They actually, 71% of young people overall tell us that they like spending so much more time at home. And home
and this
has
is
really
after,
become,
this is their after current feeling.
Current feelings, yes. They like spending so much more time at home as a result of COVID. They're enjoying their time there. Now, of course, they miss some things. You know, we've asked about events that they miss, and, you know, they miss going to the movies. They miss shopping in stores. There are things that they do crave. That said, because the world is so crazy right now, and there's so much fear around being in those outside spaces, home has really been a huge comfort. In fact, 83% say that their home has provided them comfort. And it's also turned into, you know, kind of a mental health refuge for the majority of them. And they say 72% say that their home has been an important part of maintaining their mental health. So it's been a real shelter in the storm. But long term, we really see that the meaning of home and the emphasis and focus on home that they have, this will make a lasting change for them.
Wow. Yeah, so I know that we've seen a lot of delay in some milestones of younger consumers. Is ownership of a home still a goal?
Yes. Now, millennials are known to be this generation that has pushed milestones, everything from marriage to having children to, yes, owning a home, further and further back. And they do things at older ages than previous generations did. And there was a lot of conjecture for years that that meant they don't want to own homes. They don't care about it. But our research consistently has shown that millennials and Gen Z, they both want to own a home in the future. And the majority of 13 to 39 year olds who are currently living with their parents or renting or, you know, living on their own, don't own a home right now, plan to own a home in the future. So it's not just something that they want to do. It's something that they're planning on.
So are they saving? Is it a financial delay? Is that really what's driving it? Or
yes, especially for millennials, there's been, of course, financial setbacks, but there's also been, you know, just a reordering or a rethinking of when things need to be done in life.
Right.
And this is a generation that is much more flexible, much less adhering to traditional timelines. You know, they're more comfortable having a child before getting married, more comfortable getting married and not owning a home, you know, mixing up all the things that boomers would never have strayed from. So there are several reasons that they've delayed it. But the interesting thing here is, you know, we know that owning a home is one of the biggest things that millennials are saving for currently. But also there's been an interesting effect of the quarantines where among those who have had to move back, there's some sense that they're being able to save up more now because they're, you know, not paying rent. And among those millennials who are, you know, working from home, you know, they're able to save on commuting. So while, of course, COVID has had plenty of negative impacts on some young people's finances, in some cases, we actually see that it's giving them a financial reset. They're hoping to reach that goal of buying a house within the next 5 years.
Wow, that's interesting. I'm curious, pre-COVID, cities like New York had been experiencing a bit of a renaissance. And so, but then you have COVID and you have, you know, you're locked down in an apartment and it's, you can't go anywhere and it's very, very small and tight spaces. Are people still keen to live in urban environments?
we're seeing a real shift right now. And, you know, of course, we'll be keeping an eye on it. But early data is showing that millennials who live in cities, many millennials who live in cities, are considering or even planning to move to suburban or rural areas. And while, you know, a third of them tell us that this is the case, 20% of that number say it's because of COVID that they're feeling this way. So a large number of millennials who live in cities right now are thinking about moving. And, you know, it is a story qualitatively that we are hearing quite often, that young consumers are looking for cheap houses to buy because they're not constrained by where they need to live anymore. So many of them are working from home and don't need to go into the office anymore. So there's a new opportunity where they're not tied to these city centers in the same way that they might have been, man, 6 months ago.
Right. Well, it's interesting. I we're already seeing, we're seeing retailers give up leases. We're seeing employers give up leases. If, you sure. know, nobody's in the office, why pay for the square footage? Which then has all sorts of economic knock-on effects. One of the things I'm curious about is obviously, you know, working from home, then with a dual income family, which most families are, you're looking at home offices. You have to have two home offices. You have to be able to structure this. I mean, and there's a certain type of expectation on what a home office is, isn't there?
Absolutely. I mean, just in general, the amount of time that they are spending at home has made them focus on making their spaces more comfortable, more relaxing, but also more practical. You know, we see that young consumers are not just focusing on decor and DIY ways to upgrade their spaces, which they absolutely are, but also seeing fundamental shifts to how they use those spaces. And, you know, over half of unemployed millennials are currently working from home, and that number has only increased since April. So, you know, so many millennial employed individuals are spending this time at home, and they actually want to continue that. So for brands who, you know, create furniture, you know, or home improvement, you know, they're looking to make these spaces long-term for themselves at home. And half of those who work from home tell us that they are interested in having a home office. So, you know, they want to create these spaces for themselves, especially, you know, knowing how it went in the beginning of quarantine for so many young parents.
Right.
Who were trying to juggle working from home and teaching their young children. You know, many of those were millennial parents who, of course, struggled with that as everyone did. And having these dedicated spaces could be really key for them moving forward as they continue potentially to juggle all of the different things that their home now holds.
And you believe that this is a semi-permanent change, that this is not something that, oh, thank goodness, I get to go into the office again, but that working from home is always going to have some, that you're going to want a robust home office furniture, that it's not decorative home office furniture. It's you actually, you know, it's the standing desk for home. It's the filing cabinets for home. It's functional from home.
Absolutely. 62% of millennials who are working from home tell us that after the threat of COVID passes, they would still rather work from home than in an office. And this is huge. This means that this is a lasting piece of not just their lifestyle, but their spaces. And so we see that there is a high interest in purchasing home office supplies and home tech as well among young employees who are trying to, you know, adjust their homes to be their new offices.
Wow. Well, no IT guy to come fix things. I don't know. I'm the old person and I'm like, I can't get the router to work. Help me.
Absolutely. I think there's also, you know, certainly going to be a hybrid approach done by many where, you know, there are visits to the office, but they're far less frequent.
Right.
Right. To kind of cushion themselves and have that safety. But also because, you know, working from home is the longer we do it, the norm, you know, they'll be more comfortable being at home potentially than they are in the office. And already the majority tell us that they are more productive when they work from home.
Right. So, you know, I was thinking about consumers embracing their homebody natures more than ever and how this changes consumer buying preferences. And so obviously that's work. But the two other categories that I was thinking about were exercise. Mm-hmm. And sort of relaxation and home, you know, the sense of home, which I yeah. suppose that would just be an expansion of what was already going on, the heavy blankets, the diffusers yeah. for, you know, lemongrass air scents.
What we called anxiety consumerism.
Right, exactly.
Which millennials have absolutely fueled, being one of the most anxious generations, second only to Gen Z. So yeah, weighted blankets and anything zen that they can get their hands on. You know, when we ask young consumers about what kind of spaces they want in their homes, half tell us that they're more interested in creating a better space in their home to relax in. And again, that idea of home being a part of maintaining their mental health is huge. Mm-hmm. We see that almost 20% of quarantine young consumers overall have purchased some sort of anxiety reducing product, like a weighted blanket or a massager, and 37% are interested in purchasing them. But they also want those spaces that they're looking at to be calm and soothing. So when we look at, you know, a home decor style, we see that neutral colors and minimalism and decluttering, these are all things that are really top of mind and preferred among millennials for sure.
One of the things that really fascinated me in the report was where young consumers were going to get their inspiration for this. And it wasn't mm-hmm. Pinterest. It was, yeah, it's Instagram.
Absolutely.
And
Instagram.
I found that really interesting. Are you also seeing purchasing directly through Instagram? They like it, they see it, they buy it, or is it purely inspiration?
Oh, well, we've seen really the rise in social shopping over the last few years as social media has really caught up with how millennials and now Gen Z want to do their shopping, which is they want everything in the world that they see to have a link to be able to buy it if they want to, whether that's something they see in an article or something that they see as they pass, which is why, you know, pass by it on the street, which is why things like, you know, ASOS's and Snapchat's scan to buy technology, you know, has become popular. But we've also seen that Instagram in particular has become this hybrid place where they're browsing to find the products that they want to buy. And now increasingly that space has the tools to allow them to buy it directly off of their feeds. So young consumers have always been open to this. We know that the majority are open to buying products on social media. And now, you know, social platforms are really catching up to satisfy that desire. So, you know, whether it's fashion or yes, home decor, they're absolutely open to buying these things on social.
But one of the things that the report also goes over is cottagecore, and you compare it yes. to ASMR, which I think is really fascinating. Can you, for listeners who may not be aware of what ASMR is and what cottagecore is, can you describe what each thing is and then dive a little deeper into the cottagecore?
Yeah, absolutely. So as I mentioned, you know, Gen Z and millennials are incredibly anxious generations. And there's a lot of reasons for that. And we could have a whole other podcast about it. But they seek out products and media that will soothe their anxiety, that will calm them. So they use media often as some medicine or therapy for themselves. We actually wrote an entire trend about that called Content Cure, where we found that the majority are intentionally turning to media, whether it be a TV show or a specific kind of video online or on social media, to cure their moods, to relieve their stress. These generations have really fueled these content types that are entertainment, but they also serve the purpose of being a source of calming, of being a source of de-stressing. ASMR is one of the most popular ones. It really went from niche to mainstream in the last few years. It stands for Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response. The idea is that you're listening to whispers or soft sounds, and that they soothe and relax you. Some people actually have a physical sensation and response, a tingling in the scalp. But for a lot of people, it's just very calming and soothing. And there's a huge amount of videos, but it's also become a marketing trend. You know, we've seen brands from IKEA to KFC create ASMR content. Mm-hmm. Using their products, of course. And now kind of we've seen during this time, as young consumers are focused on home and home has really shifted in meaning and become a part of their mental health. They're looking for shelters in the storm. They're looking for a sense of escape, and they want that sense of safety that home can provide. We see that domesticity has become escapism. And actually the aesthetic of cozy cottages or cottage core has become really popular during this time. At the time we wrote the report, it had earned over 3.2 billion views on TikTok, the hashtag cottage core. I am sure that it is far, far greater than that, even just a couple of weeks after releasing it. These videos are everything from, beautiful meadows and perfect cottages to baking bread, kind of homespun fashion. So the idea is kind of just escaping into the middle of the forest and, being in a space where, fairies could fly out at any moment, all very whimsical. floral prints and plants and mushrooms. And, there's this escapist kind of nature to all of the cottagecore content that you see on, whether it be TikTok or Instagram.
But it's very elsewhere. It's very different from the mid-century modern neutral decorations, though.
So far more about that kind of coziness and almost cluttered. But again, that emphasis on domesticity. So baking and crafting and bookbinding. All of these kinds of hands-on things. And for a generation that is incredibly tech focused, of course, and they. They are aware of that, and they seek out sources for unplugging from the digital nature of their lives. Sometimes there's a little bit of a contradiction where the escape from the digital nature of their lives and the stress of all of that actually comes inside of the digital platforms that they spend time on through content like this, Right. So they're attracted to, the comfort of these whimsical kind of aesthetics. And, really it is an escapism for them during an incredibly stressful time. But the fact that cottagecore has become so popular during a time of quarantine, really is emblematic of this idea for both Gen Z and millennials that home is providing so much comfort to them, at least in the concept, if not even in their own realities.
So are these cottagecore videos sort of like the hands and pans tasty videos where you could then make bread by following it as a DIY, or is it purely an escapist lean back, watch it, and you imagine that's some grandma-y kind of perfect platonic ideal of warmth?
Yeah, it's the latter. It is really all about sitting back and soaking up these images of homes and homey settings and coziness and all of this kind of soft lighting and butterflies and flowers, gardens. So yeah, it's really about using that content, as a form of escape more than, getting hands-on with it.
But we are also seeing some DIY uptick, or is that not the case?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, DIY home projects are skyrocketing during this time. It's creating a huge amount of opportunities for brands. While cottagecore specifically isn't about DIY, DIY content has also boomed in popularity on YouTube and other platforms during quarantine. And, you know, specifically DIY home projects, we know that young consumers are incredibly interested in as they turn their focus inward into their own spaces and try to make them as optimal as possible. 64% of Gen Z and millennials say that they've become more interested in improving and fixing up their homes because of COVID-19. Now, that's true of both homeowners and home renters. So, while the majority of millennials currently don't own their own homes, that doesn't really matter. They still want to make their spaces better, and they are currently willing to spend to do on the supplies, at least, to make that happen.
Wow. So they're going to invest even in property that they don't own simply to create the environment that they want.
Absolutely, because they are spending so much time there, but also because it isn't just about a forever home. It's about the space that you're being in, becoming comforting as you kind of cocoon into it.
So a number of times you've said this is an opportunity. So with regard to product development and marketing, where is the white space and which emotions should companies be looking to match and sell into?
Well, first of all, I think just acknowledging or understanding that millennials are an enormous opportunity for home improvement, home decor, home goods brands is incredibly important because, as we said in the beginning, there's still this idea among so many that millennials are just living with their parents when we know that's very much not the case. And the other kind of fallacy is that, you know, because they don't, many of them don't own their own homes, that they wouldn't want to invest in their spaces. But our research really shows that that's not true. So that's, you know, kind of step one. Then in terms of, you know, what moods to match and what emotions there are, you know, obviously so much of this feeling that we're seeing among young consumers of wanting to nest, wanting to improve their homes, wanting to create mental health havens for themselves, shelters from the storms, but also more practical spaces where they can work out, where they can work from home. You know, home needs to be more things to them than ever before. They're all kind of being fueled by this anxiety about the world at large. So, you know, really kind of the place that home brands can focus in on is being that comfort or helping to create those comforting spaces, those spaces to relax, and the kind of respite that so many young consumers are craving so much right now. But there's also, you know, a lot of opportunity around how much home can be for them, how it can be both the place that they're teaching their children or working from home, but also exercising. And then, you know, outdoor space is a whole other area where we see their, you know, focus increasing because they're not as willing to go in public places. So they're wanting to spend so much time in their yards. And that we see as a lasting trend as well. So, you know, sales of outdoor furniture and outdoor leisure activities have skyrocketed during this time. And, you know, really there is an opportunity to appeal to millennials who want home to be all of these different things because they really need it to be, but also because it is a comfort to them to have everything in this accessible space.
Wow. Well, this has been great. And I think that everyone will find all of this information so valuable. Looking ahead, what is the next piece of research that has you excited?
Well, I don't know if you know, but there's an election coming up. And, you know, what an interesting one for sure. You know, of course, we look at how young consumers are feeling about politics and in the lead ups of every election and look at their plans to vote. But in particular, with this election, you know, coinciding with cultural shifts that are so enormously significant, our next round of research is really going to be looking at young consumers' activism, and how that might be changing their votes or impacting their votes this coming fall. But also overall, you know, how they feel about brands getting involved in political issues, how they feel about brands when brands make missteps when it comes to millennials and Gen Z's core beliefs, which they are very public and vocal about increasingly. So really exploring all of these kind of issues that are fueling their activism and their beliefs, and then the way that all of that is impacting their political views as well.
Wow. Well, that will be an absolute can't miss. Well, thank you so much for spending the time with us today. I really appreciate it. You've really unpacked home, and I think everybody's ready to move in. Concept. I'm literally cozy, pushing that metaphor.
Get your cottage set up.
Exactly. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
We've reached the end of another episode of Up Next, and I'd like to close by thanking my production team at Up Next, my friend Rob Naughton, the voice artist who recorded our open, and of course, all of you, the members of our audience. Thank you. I'll be talking to you again next time, right here on Up Next.